Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We want to read again tonight at verse 26. But ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you would be our teacher tonight as we consider your word together. Things that we know, things that we've been taught, but things that we need to be reminded of. Things that we need to know why we believe them, because they're based on your word. To that end, we ask you to bless our time, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to continue our studies here in Galatians chapter 3. Last week we looked primarily at this 27th verse. And we saw that the baptism that Paul is talking about is not water baptism. And we know that because water baptism does not put us into Christ. And we saw the proof of that in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, where Peter says, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." We noted last week that this is a very important verse if we're going to have a proper understanding of water baptism. And the understanding that we need to have is there in that verse in two words. The first one is the word figure. Baptism is a figure. Baptism is a symbol. It is a picture of salvation. As we talked about last week, when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, God sees us as crucified with Christ. Romans 6 and verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." And then God sees us as buried with the Lord Jesus. In the symbolism of baptism, this is why we take people and put them under the water to baptize them. I'd like to talk about that for just a minute, if you will allow me to run down a little rabbit hole. You cannot take people under the water if you sprinkle them, as some denominations do. From time to time, it's good to remind ourselves of why we believe what we believe. Is there a biblical basis for what we believe? Or are we just following the traditions of men? Are we just doing something because that's the way we've always done it? Why don't we sprinkle here at Calvary Memorial Church? Because you don't find sprinkling here in the Bible. The first time that we find the word baptized in the Bible, in the New Testament, is in Matthew chapter 3. And I'd like for you to turn back there, if you will. Matthew chapter 3. And while you're turning there, the word baptize that we're going to see is word number 907 in the Greek dictionary of your Strong's Concordance. It's the Greek word baptizo. If you look it up, it means to dip repeatedly. It means to immerse. It means to submerge like a vessel that has sunk. Now, with that in mind, look at Matthew chapter 3. And here we have the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. Let's read it, verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan. John was baptizing people in the Jordan River because that was the only way that he could immerse them. It was the only way that he could have sufficient water to submerge them down into it like a vessel that had sunk. Now look across the page at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, the Jordan River, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. The Lord Jesus had been down in the water when he was baptized. John took him and immersed him and submerged him down in the waters of Jordan like a sunken vessel would be submerged. And John did that because it pictured the time when the Lord Jesus would be buried in the waters of death. And John brought him out of the water to demonstrate that the Lord Jesus was going to be raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Turn over to John chapter 3, if you will. John chapter 3. And look at verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem. Why? Why? Why was he baptizing there? Well, the Spirit of God tells us. Because there was much water there. Folks, you don't need much water for sprinkling people. You need much water so that those who are being baptized can be immersed and submerged down in the water. One other passage, look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. In this chapter, we read about Philip. Saul is persecuting the church and those that were scattered, those who escaped, went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip comes down to the city of Samaria, and as we see in verse 5, preached Christ unto them. And verse 6 says, And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Hearing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. But the Lord doesn't leave Philip in Samaria. In verse 26, we read that the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip does that, and he asked this eunuch in verse 30, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The Lord has sent the eunuch a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? The Lord has sent him a preacher. The eunuch is reading the gospel from Isaiah chapter 53. Look down at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. There are several things that we learn about baptism here in these three verses. The first one is that baptism was not Philip's idea. It wasn't Philip's idea. Philip didn't say, Now look here, here's water. We need to pull over and you need to get baptized. Baptism was the eunuch's idea. The focus of Philip's ministry, as we see it in verse 35, he preached unto him Jesus. As we see it in verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The focus of Philip's ministry was to preach Jesus Christ. Philip's ministry was not to get people baptized, but to preach the gospel to them so that they could get saved. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's the order of our ministry here at Calvary Memorial Church. We are happy to baptize people, but we aren't out chasing them down and hounding them so that we can boast in the number of baptisms that we have here. I've mentioned this to you before, but I mention it again because it illustrates the point, and it illustrates the state of so much of evangelism in this country and the danger of pushing baptism on people. There was a preacher who came to the campground meeting a number of years ago, and it's been a number of years ago. And he told how he had just baptized the 10,000th person at his church. Think about that. The record keeping at that church was so meticulously done that this pastor knew precisely when that particular person came down into the baptismal pool that they were the 10,000th person that he was going to baptize. Paul didn't keep records like that. We mentioned a verse from this passage a moment ago, but if you like, keep your place here and look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is good for us to see it in our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Don't know how many people that was. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Paul wasn't much of a record keeper when it came to baptism, was he? And the reason is what we read in verse 17, the verse that we mentioned a few moments ago. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This pastor and his church didn't follow Paul's example. But this man had said something earlier in that week of meetings that was very revealing. He said that he had 1,000 people in Sunday school and church on Sunday morning. But you baptized 10,000. Where are they? Now, over the course of the years that it took to reach that number, and I'm sure it took a number of years, some of the 10,000 had no doubt died. Some of them had left and gone to other churches. Some had moved to other towns. But even taking that into consideration, why would you not have had 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 people in Sunday school and church on Sunday morning? You know the answer. Pushing and promoting and emphasizing the number of baptisms reverses God's order of ministry. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. It reverses the Lord's order. To Christ sent me to baptize. That's where the emphasis is. And to preach the gospel. And the result of that reversed order will ever be false professions. People who are confused. People who believe that it is the water of baptism that's important. That it's the water of baptism that puts away the filth of the flesh. The Ethiopian eunuch says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And in so many churches, even churches that preach the gospel, the answer would be nothing. Let's fill up the tank. And let's get you baptized. Let's get your name on the roll. But that's why what Philip says here is so important. Philip says, yes, in effect. Yes, there is something that would hinder you from being baptized. And that is if you're not saved. You have no business being baptized if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Notice the order that Philip is giving concerning baptism. If thou believest with all thine heart, then thou mayest. salvation, if thou believest with all thine heart. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved comes first. And then baptism follows. I've written 1 Peter 3:21 in the margin of my Bible beside verse 37. Because Philip is demonstrating to this Ethiopian eunuch that the waters of baptism cannot put away the filth of the flesh. Don't you go down into these waters thinking that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross of Calvary that you were just reading about in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, can do that. What you're doing by getting baptized here is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Philip challenged this eunuch's reason for wanting to get baptized. And I believe that we ought to do the same thing. When folks come to talk to us about being baptized, we need to ask them, why? Why? Why do you want to get baptized? And what we want to hear is the reason that they want to get baptized. What we want to hear is a testimony of their faith in Christ. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch does here. He gives a testimony. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was Peter's testimony, wasn't it? Whom do men say that I am? The Lord Jesus asked. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord heard that testimony from the heart of Peter, and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Parents, when your younger children come to you, and ask about being baptized. Don't just say, well, that is so wonderful. Of course you can. Ask them why. Why do they want to get baptized? And naturally, you are not expecting, nor are you going to get some great theological discourse. But that isn't what the eunuch gave, is it? He just gave a simple testimony. And your children should be able to do that. And if they can't do that, then I believe it would be better for them to wait on baptism than for them to equate in their young mind some connection between salvation and baptism. I think that brings us to another thing that we learn from this passage. And that is that infant baptism is heresy. An infant cannot ask to be baptized as the eunuch did. An infant cannot give a testimony of their faith in Christ as this eunuch did, because they have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. An infant cannot understand that baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. During the Reformation era, there were Christians who rejected infant baptism. They rejected infant baptism in favor of believers' baptism. Baptism by immersion. And since many of them had been baptized in their infancy, they chose to be baptized again as adults, because they had trusted Christ as their Savior. They chose to be re-baptized. So their enemies called them Anabaptists or re-baptizers. which is what the term Anabaptist means. But these Christians never considered themselves to be rebaptized. They did not consider themselves to have been baptized in the first place as infants. They believed that the term infant and baptism didn't even belong together. And as we learn from the history of the Reformation, as we learn from the history of the early 16th century, being labeled an Anabaptist wasn't a compliment, and it wasn't safe for a time. To be labeled that was a sure sentence of death. And while it's not a sentence of death today, the Catholic Church, as well as the Eastern Orthodox Church, and others still defend and teach and practice infant baptism. I want to read you something from the New Catholic Catechism of 1994. It states, quote, "By baptism, all sins are forgiven." That's a direct contradiction of the Word of God, isn't it? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. By baptism, all sins are forgiven. Original sin and all personal sins, as well as all punishment for sin. Baptism takes care of all that. The church does not know of any means other than baptism that assures entry into eternal beatitude. Well, we know how we are assured eternal life, don't we? To be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So what I've just read you is heresy. Infant baptism is heresy. And I think this passage points that out. One other thing that we learn in these verses is a reiteration of what we've seen in these other passages. After the eunuch gives his testimony in verse 37, we read in verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." The language there is unmistakable. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And there at the end of that 38th verse is our word baptized. Word 907. The Greek word baptizo. The word that means to dip repeatedly. The word that means to immerse. That means to submerge like a vessel that has sunk. And just to make sure that we don't miss it, the Spirit of God tells us in verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water." When they were come up out of the water. The scriptures could not be more plain. Baptism by immersion is the only type of baptism that this book teaches. And the order is salvation first. "If thou believest with all thine heart." The order is salvation first. The putting away of the filth of the flesh by the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then baptism. Baptism by immersion. The answer of a good conscience toward God. And not because people are pressured into it so that they can be a number by which to measure the success of a ministry. They're baptized because there is a desire in their hearts, just as there was in this Ethiopian eunuch's heart, to make a public testimony of what's already taken place in their hearts. Now again, as we mentioned last week, most of us, if not all of us, have been taught these things. And we know them. But the Lord has put them here in His Word so that we can be ready always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us. A reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Why do we believe what we believe? We need to be able to tell people from the Word of God why we believe what we believe. The Lord has put these things in His Word so that as we have young people coming along here in the church, we can follow the pattern of the Apostle Paul as he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is how a ministry stays on the foundation of the truth of the Word of God. It's how this ministry has stayed on the foundation of truth of the Word of God, I guess for almost 60 years now. And may that never change. May that never change. May this ministry ever stay on that foundation. And resist the temptation to turn just a little bit. Doesn't take just a little bit to the right hand. Or maybe a little bit to the left hand. Just shave a little bit off the message. Think of how many more people you could have. May we stay faithful to the Word of God. This isn't what I plan to preach on tonight. But, and I don't mean that the Lord changed it after I got up here. That's not what happened. But I had a thought in mind, and maybe the Lord will let us get to it next week. But I had a direction that I wanted, that I felt like the Lord wanted to go, but then it seemed like He wanted to go in this direction, to talk about these simple truths about baptism. And I hope it will be a blessing to us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the clarity of Your Word. We thank You that when we come here, when we come to it, we're not left to our own devices. We aren't left to our own private interpretation. You make it plain exactly what You want us to know, what we need to know right here in Your Word. And we pray that we would ever cling to it as individuals who know the Lord, and as a body of believers, that we might serve You and that we might be found faithful when You come again. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.